Hello, and good evening again from Shalom HaKodesh. Today, as we're hearing Shavuos, we'd like to talk a little about the Seder of Matan Torah, Nesinas HaTorah, Kabbalas HaTorah. I've seen, unfortunately, that there's a lot of confusion and some misunderstandings, and some things, of course, are machlokas and lashon, and exactly how the things worked. So we're going to try to sort things out, the different opinions, what yes and what no. Okay, of course, the Kabbalah Satera, the pasuk says, and we read this on Shavuos, in Parshas Yitzray, Bachodesh Hashlishi, the Tzeis B'nei Somet, Tushan B'yem B'zeh Bo Mid Bar Sinai. The third month, coming out of Mitzrayim, so the first month of Yitzray Mitzrayim was Nisan, so here we are in Sivan, and B'nei Shal came to Mid Bar Sinai, and the Torah follows with the whole description of the revelation of Hashem on Har Sinai, and the saying of the Aseres Adibros. Before we get to that, a very interesting question raised by the Chazon Ish. In the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, the first pasuk says, "Vayi B'Shalach Paros Ha'am, V'lanochem Alakim Derech Eretz Plishtim Kikaravu." Hashem did not take them into Eretz Canaan via the road that leads to Eretz Plishtim Kikaravu, for it's near. Kemar Alakim Peninochem Ma'am Berosa Melchama V'Shava Mitzrayim. Hashem said that the people might regret when they see a war and turn back to Egypt. So therefore Hashem did not take them through Derech Midbar Yamsuf, and Hashem turned them around on the road to the Midbar leading towards Yamsuf. So in other words, no maps today, but that doesn't matter, just simple thing. Coming out of Mitzrayim, the easiest way to go to Eretz Canaan is along the northern coast of the Sinai Desert. That is Derech Eretz Plishtim, the road that leads to Eretz Plishtim, and that would have been the simple way to go. But Hashem did not take them there because it's also easy for them to return in Poshpshat, Peninachem Mambras Muhammad, the mighty of war, and therefore Vayasev Lekim Usam Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf, Hashem switched them to through the Midbar on the road that leads to Yamsuf. So the Chazon Ish asked over here a question. We know that when in Parshas Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem what merit, what zchus the Bnei Yisrael have to go out of Mitzrayim, so Hashem told him, "Botziecho asami Mitzrayim, tavdinu selokim al horazeh." When you come out of Mitzrayim, you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain, meaning you're going to have Kabbalah Satur. So the Chazon Ish, and all the Chazon Ish pretty much that we're going to quote, is Simon Kuf Chav Hei in Ar Chaim, where he has Sidur Nesinis Pasha Satira, where he goes into some of the details that we're going to discuss today in the last section, Sivkat Yud Aleph. So he basically asked the question, which actually came first? Is it because Hashem already had decided that he's not going to take him through Eretz Plishtim, therefore Kabbalah Satira was on Har Sinai? But had Hashem not, in other words, if they, let's say the original plan, if they would have gone in, not if they would have gone in through Derech Eretz Plishtim in a simple way, so then Matan Torah would have been somewhere else. That's one possibility, Chazon Ish says. Or Hakadosh Baruch would have taken them into Har Sinai. In other words, how could the pasuk say that the reason why Hashem didn't take them in through Eretz Plishtim is because Karavu, Hashem had already said that they're going to be Mekabel the Torah on Har Sinai? So how could the person say that that's the reason when you have another reason that already Hashem said they're going to get it on Har Sinai? So therefore he says there's two possibilities. Either that originally Hashem already decided they're not going to go through the Derech Eretz Plishtim, and because of that he decided to give it on Har Sinai. Or the other possibility is that the attacker could have gone into Eretz Canaan straight, and then from Eretz Canaan they would have gone out to Har Sinai to be Mekabel the Torah in Har Sinai. That's the second possibility that the Chazon Ish raises. But anyway, this issue, people have asked me this question a couple times. The one who documented and asked this question is the Chazon Ish over here in Seder Nesinas HaTorah. Okay, so they come to Har Sinai, and the sugya of the famous sugya of Kabbalah HaTorah is in Masechet Shabbos in Daf Pezayin Peches. We have the machlokas, what day of the year was the Torah given? Actually, it starts in Peivav. Tanu Rabbanan b'shisha b'chodesh shimna Aseres Adibos Yisrael. Rabbi Yosef Mashiva, but machlokas on what day the Aseres Adibos were given. So Tanagama says it was given on the 6th of Sivan, and Rav Yossi says it was given on the 7th of Sivan. And the Gemara explains that the Machlokas is like this, that everyone's mode, they both agree that they came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And the question is, was that a Shabbos or was that a Sunday? Everyone agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So if Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, so then, if Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, or we'll correct that. If Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, it was on Monday. If Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, like it is this year, so then Kabbalah Satira would have been on Shabbos, which is within the 7th of Sivan. But if Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, so then Kabbalah Satira wasn't above Sivan. That's the Machlokas Tanakam and Rav Yossi. What day of the year, what day of the month was Kabbalah Satira? Now we, of course, have Shavuos on Vav Sivan, which is Man Matan Torah Sein. And the question is, how do we pass him? Do we pass the Torah was given on the 6th or was given on the 7th? But there actually is no Kriyas in the Torah for the day of Shavuos. Shavuos is dependent on one thing only, and that's the 50th day of Sefiras HaOmer. So today we have a set calendar. And because we have a set calendar, Shavuos will always come out on the 6th of Sivan. But in times when they didn't have a set calendar, so the Gemara already says in the first parak in Rosh Hashanah, Atzeres, Parvim Chamisha, Parvim Shisha, Parvim Shiva. Shavuos can come out on the 5th. If Nisan and Iyar are both Mole, so then Shavuos will come out on the 5th of Sivan. If one is Mole, one is Chasar, like we have it today, will come out on the 6th. If both are Mleim, then it'll come out on the 7th. So there's no set day for Shavuos. Shavuos can come out any one of those days. Why the Hashem did it like that? Depending on Sefiras HaOmer, that's a different question. We'll not go into that. But I will mention, very interestingly, this also has to do with the continuation of Shir, that today we have a set calendar. The only thing is that we do have certain things that cause us to add an extra day or subtract an extra day. Like, for example, Lo Adu Rosh, if Rosh Hashanah is supposed to come out on Sunday, Wednesday or Friday, we push it off by a day. But when we push it off by a day, we don't add a day to, you think so, let's add a day to Elul right before Tishrei. We don't do that. We already set up the calendar way before, months in advance, in Cheshvan and Kislev, we already determine how the calendar is going to look. So if we have to add a day, because Rosh Hashanah is to come on a Sunday, and we're pushing it off to Monday, so then we're going to add a day already in the month of Cheshvan. We're not going to wait until... So the Levush asked the question, why? Why don't we wait, why don't we go to Lev? So I don't remember what he says about the first half of the year, but the second half of the year he says like this. He says, if we're going to add a day, let's say, to Iyar, then that's going to cause a shift in Shavuos. And Shavuos is going to be a different day of the year, and we want to avoid that. We have a set calendar, Shavuos is always above Sivan, that's what we have. So from Shavuos, it's exactly 120 days till Yom Kippur. And for that, it's the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, and then the 40 days that he went up again, and the 40 days that he went up a third time. So if we're going to add a day, we're going to end up with an extra day. We don't want to play around with that because we have exactly three sets of 40 days. So that's what Moshe says. That's why we don't add a day to the year in the second half of the year. That's what we do earlier. That's what the Levush and the Chasot Chodesh says. But anyway, so we have this machlokas of when was Kabbalah Satira. Everyone knows we read on Shavuos, we read the parasha of Chodesh Shlishi, we read the parasha of Kabbalah Satira. Everyone knows also the famous thing that Bnei Yisrael said, Na'aseh v'nishma. And the Gemara over here in Shabbos and the Sukkah talks about when Klai Yisrael said Na'aseh v'nishma, the Malachim came and gave each one a Gemara over here, Shabbos Peches, Bizman Sheik, Dim Yisrael Na'aseh v'nishma, Bavim Shishim, Ribush HaMalach HaShoreis, Elikol Echad Rechad Mizol, Kosh Lo Shinek Sarim, for every one of them they gave him two crowns, one for Na'aseh and one for Nishma, and because I'll say that they used the Lashon Shemalach HaShoreis, Mashtam Shimbo, the Lashon that the Malach HaShoreis used, Kibur HaKach Oseh Dura Shema B'Kol Dvar. Okay, but when you look through Parshas Yisro and you look for this famous statement of Na'aseh v'nishma, it's not there. It doesn't say that. It says a couple times, it doesn't say the word Nishma. So you go around and ask people, where do they say Nasa or Nishma? And Mike tried that once in certain shiur, I'm not going to mention names. Very few people actually knew the answer. And the answer is, it's actually the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And the end of Parshas Mishpatim, in Shvi, Chavdalad, Moshe Amar, Leil, Hashem, Atov, Aaron, Nadav, Aviyu, Hashem told him, go up, Vashim, Zikne, Yisrael, V'nigash, Moshe, Levad, Hashem, V'hem, Yigoshu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'yichtov, Moshe, Eis, Kol, Dibre, Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote all the words of Hashem, V'yashkem, Baborka, V'yivim, Mizbech, Tachas, Har, he woke up early in the morning and he built a mizbech underneath the mountain, Har Sinai, Vayikach Sefer Bris, and he took the sefer that he had written, Vayikra Vazdei Am, Vayom Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. Here, in Parshas Mishpatim, which very few people know that, Hazayin Shaychas to Kavos HaTorah, here is where it actually says Nasa V'Nishma. So Rashi says, Shvois, Chavdal, Pasuk Aleph, V'almoshe Amar Hashem, Pashtu Nemar Koidim Aseres HaDibros. This parasha that you're seeing over here is not in the order of the way the Torah was given, because you already heard the Aseres HaDibros in Yisrael one parasha before, and this story of Vayikach Sefer Bris and building the Mizbeach, this thing happened before Aseres HaDibros. This already happened Dalet Sivan and Hei Sivan, and Rashi is based on the same Gemara in Shabbos Peches, where the Gemara in Shabbos Peches says, on the 5th of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mizbech and was Makav Korban. And that is what we have over here in Shmoy Sim Mishpatim Chavdalet. Vayivan Mizbech Tachas Ahar. That is Bachamishi. And then the Shishi Loyal Panay. And on the Friday, on the 6th of Sivan, sorry, scratch that Friday, on the 6th of Sivan, he didn't have Panay. And then the Shalis didn't have Panay because it was the day that the Aseres HaDibros were given, or he didn't have Panay because it was Friday and he was busy preparing for Shabbat. But anyway, according to Rashi, this Parsha of Moshe Amar Leil Hashem, which is after Parshas Mishpatim, which is after Parshas Yisro, was at the end of Mishpatim, which is after Yisro, happened before the story of Yisro, which comes before. We have a klal, and Mukta Mamurcha Bater, hopefully we get to talk about that too, today, Be'ezrat Hashem. So, Rashi says this thing happened before. So according to Rashi, the Seder is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer HaBris, which we'll get to in a moment, what exactly the Sefer HaBris is. And then he was Makar, he built a Mizbech, his Makar Rabbanus, Kamasos, and Nasa Benishma, and the actual Kabbalah Satoira takes place a day later or 2 days later, which could be also, someone asked a question, when I said, we're going to verb ask the question, if we hold up a Zion B'Sivan, did entirely Israel, how do we get up on Vav Sivan and say, Zman Matan Teresenu? It's not Zman Matan Teresenu, but the truth of the matter is, it might not be the day that the Aseres HaDibros were given, but it's the day that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves the Torah. They said, Nasa V'Nishma. So the whole, it wasn't a one-day affair, it was a 2-3-day affair. So you can say, Zman Matan Teresenu, even on the events that happened before that. What is the Sefer HaBris that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote? So, Sefer HaBris, Rashi says, "Mibreishis v'amatn Torah u'mitzvah shenitzdavu b'mora." And this, I think, Rashi is quoting the Mechilta, if I remember correctly, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote from Bereishis to Kabbalah Torah and the mitzvahs that they got in Mora. In other words, he didn't write the next part of the Torah. He did not write yet at this stage. All he wrote was up to that day, and the mitzvahs that they got in Mara is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, and on this Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, and then a day later or 2 days later perhaps they were Mekabel the Torah, they were Mekabel the Aseres HaDvarim from Har Sinai. By the way, just for the record, almost all the Rishonim in the end of Parshas Mishpatim argue on Rashi. Now Rashi, as we mentioned, is based on the Gemara Shabbos. But all the Rishonim from the Ramban and almost all of the Mepharshim say no. They say that if you look in the end of Parshas Yisro, Klal Yisrael say that Be'er Taimana V'Nishma V'Ayu Daber Elokim Penamus. Ribono Shel Olam, you know, it's too enough, it's too much, we can't take it, we might die, we want Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to us. So Hashem said, okay, etc. And Hashem accepted this. If it doesn't say it explicitly here, it says it more in Parshas Vayeshanan. Hashem accepted this. So the Ramban and other Mepharshim say that Ve'ela Mishpatim, these are the dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu told to Klal Yisrael. And then after he finished, is the end of the story. Vayavol Moshe Vayisapalam, and he wrote to Divrei HaBris, and they accepted it. So almost all the Mepharshim, which argue and Rashi, learn that the Sefer HaBris over here is what exactly was said in Parshas Mishpatim. Mishpatim, these mitzvahs of Parshas Mishpatim are what they heard then, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, and then Klal Yisrael accepted it upon them. After the story of Kabbalah Seseres HaDvarim, which happened in the end of Parshas Yisrael. But Rashi, as I said, based on the Gemara, learns otherwise. Now Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. He goes up to the mountain for 40 days, and Vayom Hashem Moshe Alei Alei Hora Vayisham Vatnolchos Luchos Haeven Vatorah Vamitzvah Shekasavti L'Hashem. I'll give you the Luchos. And Vayal Moshe Lahar Vayishkon Kvod Hashem Al Har Sinai Vayichaseh Onan Sheshes Yamim. The cloud covered our Sinai for 6 days. Vayikol Moshe Vayom Hashvi on the seventh day Mitoch Onan. Vayavol Moshe Vesach Onan Vayal El Har. All this is at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Moshe Rabbeinu went up into the mountain. Me Moshe Bahar Abayim Yom Vabayim Laila. Moshe Rabbeinu went up for 40 days and 40 nights. Rashi brings over here. Based on the Gemara in Masechus Yoma, Dav Dalet Amud Aleph, Rashi brings the Machlokas. What are these 6 days and the seventh day? Are the 6 days from Aleph Sivan to Vav Sivan? And on the seventh of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, and then Hashem said the Aseres HaDibros. And that's according to the Mandar Amar Yossi that B'Shvi Nivna Torah Yisrael, that the Torah was given seventh of Sivan, as the Gemara explains. Or are these 7 days, it's separate 7 days, after the Aseres HaDivarim already given, after the Aseres HaDibros already given, then there's another period of 7 days. So that's the Machlokas in the Gemara, in Maseches Yoma, Avdalet Amud Aleph, and Amud Beis. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared himself for 6 days, after the Aseres HaDivarim were given. After the Aseres HaDivarim were given on Vav Sivan, he prepared himself for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he went up to Har Sinai. So the Gemara asks a question. If so, how do we have 40 days? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchos on the 17th of Tammuz. And if Moshe Rabbeinu only went up to Har Sinai, not on the 6th or 7th of Sivan, but he went up 7 days later, so then you add 40 days, that means he comes down on the 23rd of Tammuz. So how does that fit with the chronology that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu came down on the 17th of Tammuz and the Luchos were broken? So the Gemara answers that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, when it says 40 days, the 40 days include the 6 days of preparation. So Moshe Rabbeinu was not really in the mountain 40 days, he was over there 40 days minus 6. That's what the Gemara answers. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, and for 40 days he learns the Torah, and he comes down on the 17th of Tammuz, as we mentioned before, and he carries with him the two Luchos. That's all he carries with him. He doesn't carry with him the rest of the Torah. He learned the Torah, but it's not written down. Hashem did not write down the Torah for him. He comes down with the two Luchos, and he sees the Egel, and he breaks the Luchos. Okay, a little about the Ksav HaLuchos. What did the Ksav HaLuchos look like? In Parshas Kisisa, where we have the story of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down with the Luchos, Moshe Kalasol HaBeitor V'asim Hashem Elokim Saidus Luchos Eben Kisuvim Be'etzva Elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the two Luchos, and then the whole story of the Egel. And then the Torah goes back in Lamed Beis Tesvav. Vayifen Ve'ered Moshe Minahar Ushnei Luchos Eidus V'yodor. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the two Luchos, Luchos Kisuvim Ushnei Avrehem Mizeh U'Mizeh Hem Kisuvim. The Luchos are written from both sides. So Rashi says Mishnei Avrehem Hoyu Osios Nikros. The Osios can be read from both sides. U'Maisei Nisim Hoyo. And this was Maisei Nisim. So I have to say, when I learned in Cheder The Rebbe explained to us this Rashi the way it's seemingly in the Poshup Shat, there's a nes that they could be read from that they could be read from both sides. Which Shachar is a Poshup Shat. Rashi Mai Sini Simhoi. So the Ika Sipse Chachamim already says not like you might think. Now, as you might think that the nes is they can be read from both sides, that's not. Because the Gemara in Masechus Shabbos says otherwise. The Gemara in Masechus Shabbos says, Kuv Gimel, Amud Beis, sorry, Kuv Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Masechus Shabbos says, Amud Barma Abchisa, Ksav Shebeluchos, Nikra Mi Bifnim, V'Nikra Mi Bachutz. The Ksav Reluchos can be read from the front and can be read from the back. Kigon, Nevuv, Ruban, Bahar, Rav, Sar, Varas. If you have the word Nevuv on one side, it would be legible to be read on the other side, Buban. Or Bahar, Rav, or Sar, Varas. In other words, it's a type of mirror script. Don't think that when it says that you can read, when Rashi says you can read from both sides, the Nes was that it can be read from both sides, so the Chacham says that's not true. That's not the Nes. That's because it couldn't be read from both sides. Because it's the Vuv Buba. So what was the Nes? So the Nes, he says, is what the Gemara says over here, that the Mem v'samach shebeluchois b'nes hayuam. The Nes was that the Mem Sofi, and the Samach, since it's, if the Luchos are engraved from one side to the other, so then the middle, these two letters, which are a complete square, or so the middle should fall out. And the nes was that the members samach shavaluchos b'nes hayuamdim, that they didn't fall out. So in other words, what was the nes? Not that they could be read from both sides, but the nes was that the members samach didn't fall out. Now this is inevitable. If that is the nes, then it must be that it was engraved from one side to the other. And that's why it didn't fall out. If it was legible from both sides, let's say it was engraved from each side halfway in, so then there'd be no nes, because the middle shouldn't fall out. If the middle didn't fall out, it must have been engraved from one side to the other. So, as the Gemara said, nevuv vubat. But on the other hand, Mashi says over here, mizeh mizeh hayu nekrayim. They were both able to be read. So what does Rashi mean? So you might say, both able to be read, meaning it's visible on both sides, not necessarily to read it. But then the question is, so what's the purpose? What's the purpose of Mizeh, what's the purpose to have it engraved from one side to the other if you cannot read it from the other side? So, I want to suggest is a very interesting one. And today, of course, Hebrew is written from right to left. But it seems that the Hebrew script, as found in archaeological evidence in a few places, there were times when it could be read from right to left, and it could be read from left to right. And a piece of pottery found in a place called Izbat Sarta near Rosh Ha'ayin has on it the Aleph Beis in order, and the Aleph Beis is over there from left to right, not from right to left. And a couple of other places also have been found with the ancient Hebrew script written in that order. So I once asked this top professor, Professor Yosef Navet, who's a top expert on ancient writings here in the country, and I asked him a question. I said, so how do you know which way to read it? You get a document. How do you know if you read it right or left to right? Today we know. We only read it one direction. But then, so I said, could it be that it depends on the direction that the letters are facing? He says, yeah, that's correct. If it's facing this way, then you read it this way. If it's facing that way, you read it that way. I said, oh, so now we know the secret of the Luchos. If the Luchos, once it says Mizam Zaim Ksuv, as Rashi says, it was engraved from side to side so that it could be read from both sides. But in those days, the Ksav Ibri could have been read from both directions. So if you looked at the Luchos from one side, you read Anecha Hashem Alekecha from right to left. But if you turned it over, then you actually read Anecha Hashem Alekecha from left to right, because it could be read in both directions. I mentioned to another person this Gemara Nevuv Buban is a very interesting Gemara, because the issue came up with the when the printing press was invented. So you write, you put together the letters. Today, of course, it's all done by computer. You don't write, you don't use any letters, but in early times at the printing press, they had to put together the letters. And then the question is, when you write Hashem's name, can you take it apart or not? Are you being mochek Hashem's name? So some want to say there's no problem, because when it's written in a script, when it's written in the letters, the setting of the letters, so the letters are in their script, so it's not really Hashem's name, it's reversed, so it's no problem. Some want to bring a right from this Gemara, that in the Vuvuban, you see that if it's written in a mirror script, it's also considered to be written in a script. Anyway, so the question that people ask me is, very nice, very fine idea, but if the Torah, if the Luchos were written in the ancient Hebrew script, so then the Mem and the Samach were not complete letters. The Mem and Samach are only complete letters in the Ksav Ashuri. And from the fact that the Gemara says that the Mem and Samach Shabaluchos B'nei Sayyuam shows you that the Gemara was of the opinion that the Luchos were written in the Ksav Ivri. Now we know in Bayis Rishon, they use the Ksav Ivri. And the beginning of Bayis Sheni, they switched from Ksav Ivri to Ksav Ashuri. And the question, is, was it originally Ksav Ashuri or not? So the Gemara says over here in the same Shabbos Kedal and Dalif, Sarah Chizda, Mem v'Samach Shabaluchos v'Nei Sayyuamdim, the Mem v'Samach v'Nei. So you see that the Torah was written Ksav Ashuri, the Luchos, sorry, were written Ksav Ashuri and not Ksav Ivri. So how does that fit in? So I told him that's very nice, but if you look in Yerushalmi Megillah Perek Aleph Halachotes, it says a very interesting thing. Amar Levi, Manda Amar Leratz Nitna Torah Ayin Ma'isinisim. Manda Amar Ashur Nitna Torah Samach Ma'isinisim. The Yerushalmi says like this. Yerushalmi says that there's a machlokas how the Torah was given. Was it given Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashur? So if it was given Ksav Ashuri, so then you're right, the Mem and Samach was an ace. But if it was given Ksav Ivri, then the Ayin was an ace. And the Ayin represents the eye, and the eye is round, and Ksav Ivri, the Ayin is round. So what Yerushalmi is saying, there was an ace in the Luchos. And the ace was that the script, that the thing, the letter that was complete, the middle didn't fall out. That was the ace. Which letter it was, it could be this, it could be that. There is no proof from the fact that there was an ace. It could be either or. So anyway, this, what I mentioned, might explain the reason that the Luchos were engraved from one side to the other. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets the entire Luchos, he gets the Luchos, he comes down, he learned the Torah, it's all Baal Peh, at this stage it's all given to him Baal Peh. The Luchos are the only thing that's written, and Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos. According to Rashi, he went up the next day to ask for forgiveness for the Egel, and he stayed on the mountain for 40 days again, and then he went down, and then Hashem told him right before Chodesh Elul come up with the second set of Luchos, and that is in Parshas Kisisa, Lamed Dalet, Vayam Shalom Moshe B'Solach Hashnei Luchos Avonim Karishon V'Chasavta La Luchos As Advarim V'Shaharim La Luchos Hashem Sheshibarto. And so that was Moshe Rabbeinu was up 40 days, got the first Luchos, came down, broke them, was up 40 days to ask for Mechila for the Egel. And that is more in detail in Parshas Ekev. And then he comes down. Hashem tells him, come up again with Psalach Hashem Luchos. You have to bring your own Luchos this time, and I'll write. And Moshe Ben and comes down again. And that's in the end of Parshas Kisisa. When Moshe Rabbeinu comes down the final time, Moshe comes down on Yom Kippur with the second Luchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu in total is on the mountain 120 days, as we mentioned before. That is Rashi's opinion. However, there are a bunch of Rishonim in Parshas Ekev, Chizkuni and others, who say that Moshe Rabbeinu was on the mountain only 80 days and not 120 days. 40 days with the first Luchos, 40 days with the second Luchos, but not up in the middle. That's a Machlokas and Rishonim. Okay. And then, by the way, when he gets the second Luchos, Hashem gives him instructions. He gives him instructions to write the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets a tzivui to write the Torah. Hashem writes the Luchos. V'achtov al luchos as a dvarim. Hashem writes the luchos, but Moshe Rabbeinu gets a command to write the Torah. And this is a question. Getting a little late. So first of all, we have the luchos. Was the ksav on the first luchos and the second luchos identical or not? And this, I don't know exactly the Maariv Makomos. There are different opinions. We also know, of course, that the Torah has a Aseres HaDibros in Yisro and has a Aseres HaDibros in Vayeschanan, and there are small differences there. In Yisro it says Zochas Yom HaShabbos, and in Vayeschanan it says Shomos Yom HaShabbos. So what did it say on the Luchos? Did it say Zochar or did it say Shomah? Okay, so we have a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma. Gemara Bava Kamma Nundalet on the base. Shal Rav Chanina ben Agas Rav Chia bar Abba. V'vdeimah v'dibus ha'shonos lo ne'mar b'em tov, v'dibus ha'chronos ne'mar b'em tov. How come in the first dibus it says, kavad esavicha v'simecha, v'man yarichun yomecha ala adam v'shanishbar l'abasecha l'asislach. In the second luchos, in Vashchan, it says, kavad esavicha v'simecha, v'man yarichun yomecha, or v'man yitav loch. It says the word tov. How come it doesn't say v'man yitav loch in the first luchos? That is the question that he asked. So, well, let's avoid the next line of the Gemara because it's very complicated. He says, I'm not sure if it does say Tov or not. Go to Avotam Kambach and Eloi. Anyway, he gave him an answer. Amalei, Kachamalei Yishmol Barnochum Achim Shavach Bachanino. Hoyo B'Sefer Neshtaber. Since the first luchos were going to be broken, and therefore it doesn't say Tov. V'chisof Neshtaber Mayavi. And if they're going to be broken, so what? That the Tov would not disappear from Klal Yisrael. Had it said Tov on the first Luchos, and the Luchos would have been broken, so then the Tov would have disappeared from Klal Yisrael. And therefore it doesn't say Tov on the first Luchos. Okay. So what do we see from this Gemara first of all? And by the way, not only doesn't say Tov in the first Luchos, it doesn't even say the letter Tes in the entire first Luchos. And the Gemara goes on, the Gemara says, Haro Tes B'Chalom, so it's a good sign, it's a sign for Tov. So you see that the fact, not only the absence of the word Tov, but even the absence of the letter Tes, as the Marsha points out over there, is showing you that it wasn't on the first Luchos. So what we say clearly is, it could not be that on the first Luchos, it says what it says in Pasuk Vayeschanan. Because the Gemara clearly says, it didn't say L'man Yitavloch on the first Luchos. So you have two possibilities. One possibility is that the first luchos it says in Parshas Yisro, and on the second luchos that weren't broken, it already said the Tov. Or it could be Vayichtov al haluchos kamichtov harishon. Hashem wrote the same thing on the second luchos, exactly what it said in the first. Just the only question is why it doesn't appear. The Tov doesn't appear in the okay. But those are two possibilities. Okay, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not come down with a Sefer Torah from Har Sinai. Rashi says, in Parshas, the beginning of Parshas Bahar, we read it a little over a week ago, so Rashi quotes, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'Har Sinai Lemar, just like, why does it say b'Har Sinai, just like Shemitah's Nemo Klaleo v'Diktukeh Misinai, likewise, all the Torah was given Klaleo v'Diktukeh Misinai. So everything was given in Sinai. But for sure, Moshe Rabbeinu did not come down with the remainder of the Sefer Torah. And he definitely didn't come down with the continuation of the story of the Meraglim and the story of everything else. That of course was not written before it happened. It's obvious, but I've seen this question asked on internet websites to Rabbanim and whatever, and the answers weren't clear. The answer's clear cut. There's no one who says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Sefer Torah that said on the Chet HaMeraglim. Impossible. Ain't davar kaze. Moshe Rabbeinu learned the entire Torah, and then after 40 days, the Gemara says in the Dorim, Hashem gave it to him in Matana. And Moshe Yisrael, and he said, told him, write it down. But there's no way that Moshe Rabbeinu came down with a written Sefer Torah from Har Sinai. Now, when was the Torah written? And for that, we have a machlokes in the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, how the order goes. Gittin, Samach, Amar Aleph. Torah, Megillah, Megillah, Nitna, Shenema, Azamach, Yenibasim, Megillah, Sefer, Kosev, Alay. Rabbi Binah says the Torah was given Megillah, Megillah, which means every time Moshe Rabbeinu taught a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael, he wrote it down on klaf, he wrote it down to give to Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Shimon Lakashayim, Torah, Chasuma, Nitna, Shem Lager says, no, the Torah was given in one thing. Shanema says, Lakoach Sefer Torah Hazos. Take the Sefer Torah. So in other words, according to Rabbi Benoah, throughout the 40 years, every piece of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down. And then, at the end of 40 years, he assembled it together and had the Sefer Torah. And then, in Parshas Vayelech, Lakoach Sefer Torah Hazeh, he finally completed the Sefer Torah and gives it to Klal Yisrael, gives it to Levim, gives it to all the Shvatim. That's one way. And Rav Shimon Lakhi says, no, Torah Chasuma did not. Moshe Rabbeinu did not write down the Torah in the beginning. He only wrote it down at the end of his life on the last day. And by the way, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Shabbos. It's one of the reasons we're saying Tidkoscha, Shabbos or Mincha, but it's a Machlokes. And one of the Achrayim, I think the Magen Avraham says impossible. How could Moshe Rabbeinu have written a Sefer Torah the day he passed away for Shabbos? So he proves that he passed away actually on Friday. Okay, it's a Machlokes in the Achrayim, but I'm saying this one of the issues that Moshe Rabbeinu is writing at least the completion of the Sefer Torah on the day that he passed away. So if that, how could that be Shabbos? He wrote the small, whatever, this is a whole discussion. But that is when Moshe Rabbeinu completes the Sefer Torah. But again, there's no way that he came down Mahar Sinai with the written Sefer Torah. Shouldn't be any misunderstandings. What's interesting is that the Gemara says, nonetheless, that Shemayne Parshas Nehmer Bayam Shukam Bayam Mishkan. That eight Parshios, when it says Megillah, it's called the Megillah, eight Parshios were given on the day that Shehukam HaMishkam, which is Aleph Nisan. Which would mean that these eight Parshios, not only Moshe Rabbeinu gave on that day because they were vital to be known for that day, but Moshe Rabbeinu wrote those eight particular Parshios down. Everything else he wrote according to Shemuel Lakish after 40 years. But those eight Parshios he wrote on that day. Now why is it necessary for him to write it on that day? Why isn't it good enough for him to teach those Parshios, those essential Parshios? That's a question in itself. But this is what the Gemara is saying, that these eight parshas which were necessary for that day, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down. So those eight parshas he wrote down, but everything else he wrote down according to Rish Lakish after 40 years. Rabbi Benoah says everything was written down piece by piece. We have a little about the continuation to say that since we're in the parshas of Bamid, Barnasa, Balosho, so I will go into that a little. Certain things very interesting, very shocking, I have to say, even. In this week's Pasha, we have the Korbanos HaNesim. Vayibi Yom Kalos Moshe, La'akim Asa Mishkon, the whole latter half of Pasha's Naso is talking about the Korbanos and repeat of 12 times the Korbanos. Vayibi Yom Kalos Moshe, La'akim Asa Mishkon, Vayim Shech Osa, Vayikadesh Osa. What is the day? That day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Ayah Rashi says. And Bashemi Nisrapara, Bashlishi Sizra Zarushana. So this story of Abiyam Kalas Moshe takes place on Aleph Nisan. That's what Rashi says, and this is Klar, and from the Gemara, plenty of places where the Gemara says that you had a Chatas Nachshon on Aleph Nisan, the day that Melavan Naviyu died. So it's clear that this is talking about Aleph Nisan. But now we run into a small problem. By a Krivani Sisal Shay Besavosam, Hem Nisir Hamatos, who are these Nassim? These are the Nassim, the Shvatim. These are the people who did the counting. Who did the counting? Now we all heard Kriyas HaTorah last week, and the whole Parsha Hashem said, V'itchem Yiyu Ish Yishlam Hatzeh, and the whole counting. That's all fine and dandy, except one small problem. When did this minyan of Chumash HaPkudim take place? It took place on the first day of Iyar. And now we come to this. The makir of the korbanos hanesiim. Now, in the order that the word of Torah is given, it's fine. Hey, ma'amdim al apkudim. That's right. Last week we read about it. But if you look at it chronologically, where Rashi says that this took place on Aleph Iyar, how can the Torah say that hey, ma'amdim al apkudim, that they are the ones who did the counting when the counting didn't take place yet? The counting is going to take place in a month. This is on Aleph Nisan, and the counting is going to take place in Aleph Iyar. So how could it say, hey, ma'amdim al apkudim? It's a very strong question. And I don't want to disappoint you, but I don't have an answer for Rashi. It's such a strong question that the Abarbanel, because of this, argues with Rashi and says that this Chanukah Zamishkan, the Nesiim, took place in Iyar. Against Chazal, against Rashi, the Abarbanel can do that, but that's what the Abarbanel says. But I, and answer for Rashi, I don't have. And this question actually, in a way, we could say continues, because in Parshas Va'aloska we have the Tachas Alavim Mitoch B'nei Yisrael, and that, the Gemara says, is one of the eight parshas that was said on Aleph Nisan. And that appears after Aleph Iyar. Okay, Ein Mukdem Amocha B'Torah. So, in Parshas Va'aloska, we also have the story of Pesach Sheni. And Pesach Sheni, V'adar B'Shalom Moshe B'Mid B'Sina B'Shona Sheni S'Teis Amat Nisraim. Hashem tells B'nai Yisrael to do Pesach. And they do Pesach. And then the people who were Tameh, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Lama Nigora, how come we should be missing out on the mitzvah? And Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me ask Hashem. And Hashem gives them instructions, they should do Pesach Sheni. The Gemara in Pesachim, in Daf Vav, learns from here, that your Dorech Shenilchos HaChag, 30 days before the Chag. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was standing by Pesach Rishon and giving them instructions to do Pesach Sheni, and that's a month in advance. And Rav Gamliel says only 2 weeks in advance. And the basis of the Machlokas is, was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni right away or not? If it was necessary for him for other reasons, then you can't learn a raya that you prepare 30 days in advance, because maybe he had to tell him for other reasons. But if he had no other reason, then the only reason why he told it to them is because Yidorish and Hilchos HaPesach 30 days before. By the way, we're a week before Shavuos, and the Mishabur already brings in the beginning of Hilchos Pesach that Shalom Yidorish and Hilchos HaChag 30 days is, according to some Pesachim, is only Pesach because there's a lot of halachas. But it doesn't apply to Yom Tov that have less. L'chaira, if we learn out from Pesach Sheni, then Pesach Sheni is not the Pesach Rishon. We have to do all the kashering and everything in the 30 days. Okay, a side question. Then the Gemara asks a question at the end of the sukkah. And the Gemara says, V'nichta b'reisha v'chodesh Rishon. And then, right, the Chodesh Sheni. How come at the beginning of Parshas of Chumash Bamidbar, it has the counting, which is Aleph Iyar, and then in Baloscha, it has a story that takes place in Nisan. Why didn't the Torah write it in order? So the Gemara says, this proves a Muktam Amorcha B'Torah. So the Chayra, this question, the Gemara could have asked right away. This has nothing to do with the Sugi and Pesachim. This question is an obvious question. How come in Parshas Bamidbar we have a story of something that takes place in Aleph Iyar, and then in Parshas Va'aloska we have the story of what Hashem tells him B'chodesh HaRishon in Nisan? So Rashi really says over there in Pesachim, Rashi says, you're right. It has nothing to do with the Sugya. This question could have been asked anyway. But L'chaira, in the Pashim Shan, the Gemara is not like that. And the Bnei Yashar already says, Tofchu Kamay de Kamay, the Rishonim and the Achronim, they all go on to prove that that's not the case. So I'm going to offer my own suggestion. Could be, I didn't have a chance to look, it could be it's brought in the Rishonim and the Achronim. But if you learn the Sugya carefully, we see like this. In the Torah, Hashem commands Moshe Rabbeinu in Nisan to tell Bnei Yisrael to do Pesach. And then come along these people and say, Lama Nigora. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Hashem, Hashem gives an answer and tells them Pesach Sheni. In the Torah it doesn't say when Hashem gave him the answer Pesach Sheni. If I read the Torah Kishel Atzma, I could think maybe in Aleph Iyar, maybe in Zion Iyar, Hashem told them they should do Pesach Sheni. It doesn't say explicitly when this should happen. And the Gemara takes it for granted that it all took place on Yudalad Nisan. On the day when they were supposed to be Makav Karban Pesach, on the day when everyone else is Makav Karban Pesach, on that day they got a tzibur for Pesach Sheni. The Gemara doesn't say where we get it from. The Gemara learns on the other things how we know that it happened on Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara doesn't say where we get it from. But the Gemara clearly learns that it happened on Yudalad Nisan. So, what I want to suggest is like this. If, without the sugya, I might think that the Tzibur Pesach Sheni came in Iyar. And if the Tzibur Pesach Sheni came in Iyar, then I don't really have a question why this doesn't come before the minyan of Chumash HaPekudim. Chumash HaPekudim is an Aleph Iyar. The story of Pesach Sheni, you're right, it starts off in Aleph Nisan, but where do you want the Torah to write it? It's one story, so if we write it, we wrote it over there when it took place, when the Tzibur Pesach Sheni was, let's say, Zayin Iyar. It is not right that in Muktam Amocha B'Torah. Because it's one story, one story. The Tzarek can write it either there, the Tzarek can write it here. The end of the story, the most important point of the story is Pesach Sheni. And for that, it puts it in order, the way it went, after Aleph-Iyar. But once already, we have this whole sugya that the Gemara says, for whatever reason, that the Tzibah Pesach Sheni came on Yudalad Nisan. So now you have a question. The Tzibah came on Yudalad Nisan, so why does it belong over here? It should have been before Aleph-Iyar. That's why it comes in. Anyway, the Ramban learns that all of Vayikra, is those that bris that they got from Har Sinai, and the mitzvah of Shemitah appears in Parshas Mishpatim. Vashvi'asi Shemitano Natashta, and the Ramban, according to his explanation in Parshas Mishpatim, that is the bris that they got in Sinai. So that's why he's saying the whole thing, the whole bris from Har Sinai, concludes Eila Mitzvahs in the end of Chumash Vayikra. The closing statement of Chumash Vayikra is Eila Mitzvahs Asher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe El Bnei Yisrael Ba'Har Sinai, is the conclusion of the bris of Har Sinai, that Moshe Rabbeinu got these mitzvahs in Har Sinai, and he elaborated them in Chumash Vayikra. That's the way the Ramban learns Pshat. But anyway, to sum it all up, the Luchos, the first Luchos were given on after 40 days, Moshe Rabbeinu went up. The Kaisel heard a sense of difference on Vav Sivan and Zayin Sivan. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain. He comes down on Shivas and Batamas with the first Luchos, they're broken. Either he goes up a second time the following day or not, but he'll go up with for the second Luchos on Rosh Chodesh Elul and come down on Yom Kippur. Now, as Rashi says, all the mitzvahs are given me Sinai, so briefly, we'll touch on one other point, which the Chazon Ish also touches on in Seder Matan Torah. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know the din of Yerusha? When B'nai Tzlafchot came and asked, this is already 40 years later, how can Moshe Rabbeinu not know the din that the women, that the daughters are Yerush? He got everything Misina. So that's the din of Bez Din, which Yisro told him. So that is a point that the Chazon Ish asked over here. Omikom Chazon Ish says, and Sif Kat Dalad, as we mentioned in Kuf Chavei, Eino Chosin Matari Mitzvahs B'Sinai B'Shul Zeh, She'en El Prati Dinim. These are small technicalities. V'ulai Lo Ya Moshe Hashay Ladun O B'Mah Shekibu B'Sinai Amkein Nistar O'Kar Limsas Adin O'Li Yisrael. So saying, he could be Moshe Rabbeinu heard him in Sinai, but he had to get instructions from Hashem to give it to Klal Yisrael. Now, there are other, in Chazal it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu purposely forgot it, Megalgin Schus al Dezaka and Vechov al Dechai. Moshe Rabbeinu knew this din, but he purposely forgot it so that the Bnei Tzlachot should be Zoycha, that this mitzvah should be said because of them, and the din of Mekoshesh, that is Chayev Misa, Skila, also Megalgin Chov al Dechai. Another answer by Bnei Tzlachot could be, and this based on the Zohar, the issue was less our daughter's Yorish. The issue more was, did Slavchot lose his chelik in Eretz Yisrael or not? They gave him a whole introduction. Avinu meis b'midbar, v'hu lo yhaya b'soycho eide an edem al shem adas korach. And if yes, he lost his chelik, just like adas korach lost his chelik, and lost their chelik. So the issue was not so much our daughter's yoresh, but the issue was, did Slavchot, is he zoycho to get a chelik, or did he lose his chelik? That's the question. The Zohar says, "Came benot Slavcha Daivos." The fact that Hashem mentioned Slavcha's name shows that his misa was mechaper, and therefore he got a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, it could be your daughter is Yerush, but that doesn't mean that they're entitled to get the chelik of Slavcha, because Slavcha himself particularly wasn't Yerush. But anyway, Rashi Sheet, all the mitzvahs are given Misinai. It could be the din of Pesach Sheni. I'm just suggesting. I don't know. They're still by Sinai. It could be it's considered Misinai. I don't know. I'm just throwing a suggestion. The mitzvahs are given in Sinai, but the writing of the Torah either took place throughout the 40 years or took place at the end of the 40 years, but there's no way that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai together with the Sefer Torah. He came down only with the Sefer Sadibros. The rest was all given to him in Sinai, and then Hashem gave him the instructions, which eventually he completed at the end of 40 years. And as we mentioned, the end of Parshas Vayelech, he completes the Sefer Torah, and he says, Lokach HaSefer HaTorah HaZeh, completed it at the end of 40 years.